beseech you to help me, and I know you have everything I need. I have not come to you by chance or accident. I know that I am in the right place, maybe in the right time, and I know that you have whatever I need. I have utmost hope in your reward. Look how beautifully these whispered prayers are telling us that we should pray to our God. They are teaching us the etiquettes, the requisites of praying to the Almighty Allah.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. Hafaftahu bi-rahmati wa-ridwan. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this Munajat. And in one of his sayings, he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular, he mentioned Munajat al-Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers. But if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat al-Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
Rajian lima ladayka thawabi means I have utmost hope in your reward. I am hopeful for what you have in terms of a reward. The servant in this state is telling the Almighty Allah that I am detached from anyone and I have no hope other than you. One of the etiquettes of the supplication is to entertain a good opinion of Allah. That husnul dhan, that raja, which the word Rajian here in this part has been taken from it. So Allah the Exalted gives to His servants in accordance with their good opinion about Him and their confidence in the vastness of His mercy and generosity. If the servant is just reciting these parts but without complete attention, without recognition, how can he hope for the Almighty Allah's forgiveness? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has been reported to have said, when you pray to Allah, turn to Him with your heart and think as if your need were at the door. Just exactly what we see here. This part says, Rajian lima ladayka thawabi. I am hopeful for what you have in terms of a reward. And by having this state, of hopefulness and this state of distress, the servant has lost hope in all other than Allah, and he takes due resort to Allah, such that he entertains no hope in other than Him, the Almighty, the Majestic. In fact, if the supplicant's hope is divided between Allah and other than Him of His creatures, then he has not attained a due absorption in Allah, and he has not experienced in himself the state of being desperately in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان والعالم يقول لك احبك شعبان بجمالك شعبان شعبان يا شعبان يا شعبان يا شعبان احبك يا شعبان يا شعبان احبك يا شعبان
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Leadership from the perspective of Imam Khomeini. The governance, which is a part of the absolute wilaya of the Prophet Muhammad, is among the primary Islamic rules and takes precedence over the whole secondary rules, including the prayer, fasting, and Hajj. The Islamic ruler can ruin a mosque or a house which obstruct a street and pay the owner its price. He can also temporarily ban the mosques when necessary, or demolish a mosque which provides detrimental to the public good in case it is possible to prevent its haram without destroying it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. We were discussing about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in this program, and we were talking about his viewpoints in regards to the religion of Islam.
Today we are with another saying of Imam Khomeini, in which Imam Khomeini has said that there is one law in Islam, and that is the divine sovereign rule. This divine sovereign rule means that there is only one person who will rule the country, the society, and that is a divine personality. This sovereign rule is divine. It has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah himself is the ultimate power. He is the only and only power who was even before us. Even if we do not exist, he exists.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
He who is the creator of the worlds, he who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who split the earth and heaven with an explosion, who created the heavens, who have created the earth and everything that we see around us, the galaxies, the universe, the solar system that we see, he is the creator of that. That's why, because he is one, he made this rule in Islam, this law in the Islam. And that is the divine sovereign rule. This divine sovereign rule is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is only Allah who must rule. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will rule. And we all are submissive to him. We need to follow the Islamic state and to learn and live according to the teachings of Islam. Inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello and welcome back to The Light. A Colombian pianist has proved that animals enjoy music just like humans do. Mario Fernando Prado has created a relaxing atmosphere in a zoo in northern Colombia. He plays some of the world's most famous classical songs for animals. He believes that music brings peace and calm to any animal, from lions to flamingos. Zoo officials say the initiative is a wonderful experience for both animals and visitors. Of course, that's not the first time Prado does so. He has played the piano for animals in different places in the past. Now, the coronavirus may have shut down many social activities in India, but it can never stop the festive spirit of spring. This year, like previous ones, Indians are making preparations for the upcoming Holi festival, which starts on March 28th this year. This spectacular ritual runs for 2 days and is the second biggest festival on the Hindu calendar. When Holi arrives, people play with colors and try delicious local food. The celebration signifies the triumph of good over evil and is marked as a day of spreading happiness and love. Holi is also known as the festival of love and colors. Taking care of one's dental health is an absolute must, no matter humans or animals. A 14-year-old Siberian tiger has undergone a dental operation in a French zoo. The dentist took good care of the animal and even administered eye drops so that his eyes would not go dry during the procedure. Baikal broke his fang 7 years ago while playing around, prompting the zoo owners to have her tooth revitalized and filled. The operation was successful, and the playful cat is now enjoying a brand new fang.
Now, while the world has been riveted by the adventure of NASA's Mars rover, a group of Swiss school children has been eagerly preparing their own mission to the Red Planet. The children have simulated a mission to Mars with the help of some space experts, including Switzerland's sole astronaut, Claude Nicollier. Their rocket is actually a bus with images of astronauts astride a spaceship. And their destination? Well, a Mars space station, conveniently situated, that is, in a secluded wooded area on the outskirts of Lausanne. In a bid to simulate a true space mission, all the children's meals consist of freeze-dried food and are put in an environment they don't know. The school principal says the experiment is aimed at validating what the students have learnt, including maths and science. Now, a volcano near Iceland's Reykjanes Peninsula erupts after being inactive for almost 900 years. The Icelandic Meteorological Office says the eruption was anticipated, though, following thousands of smaller earthquakes in the area in recent weeks. The office says the eruption posed no immediate danger to local people or to critical infrastructure. This comes over a decade after the eruption of another volcano in Iceland disrupted some 900,000 flights across Europe and forced hundreds of Icelanders to flee their homes.
It must be exciting to be to experience a real-world version of a game. Let's go to Japan to see what it's like to be Mario. Fans of the classic Super Mario games are delighted as Nintendo's first ever theme park has opened in the western city of Osaka. Visitors can gather virtual coins and defeat villains while exploring the park with a smart wristband. One of the park's main draws is a Mario Kart ride around the castle of Mario's enemy, Bowser.
We perfectly recreated the world of the game. You can feel what it's like to be inside of the game and enjoy the life-sized world. You'll find piranha plants, and you'll see what it is like to be Mario.
Visitors can also meet life-size characters from the Mushroom Kingdom and grab a bite in Mario-themed restaurants. The attraction is part of the Universal Studios Japan Amusement Park. Its opening was delayed repeatedly from last summer due to the coronavirus pandemic. A Crimean powerlifter has set a Russian record for pulling a giant airplane. The powerlifter managed to pull an amphibian aircraft weighing 31.5 tons. He did so over the distance of more than a meter at a military base near the city of Sevastopol. The strongman suffered serious injuries during the first attempt on Tuesday when he pulled the plane for 31 centimeters. With the fourth attempt later in the day, he pulled it to 1 meter and 12 centimeters in just 40 seconds. The record was confirmed by representatives of the Record Book of Russia.
An archaeological team has discovered new ruins in Egypt. The discovery reveals a monastic life in the country's western deserts in the 5th century. The Egyptian Antiquities Ministry says the discoveries include ruins of three churches with graffiti and symbols on walls. It says the religious inscriptions and the Greek biblical passages prove the nature of life at that time. The mission was carried out by a group of French-Norwegian archaeologists. The find offers better understanding of the development of buildings and the formation of the first monastic communities. In recent months, Egypt has announced several major archaeological discoveries, hoping to revitalize its tourism industry. School children from Spain and Portugal have been learning how to combine sports with science. They have now put their knowledge and skills to the test by racing their electric cars. The contest was held between 9 teams outside Athletic Bilbao's San Mamés Stadium. However, the goal wasn't to see who could drive the fastest. Rather, the strategy was to use their battery power as efficiently as possible. The team that completed as many laps as possible in 90 minutes was declared the winner. Driving the car too fast could quickly drain the batteries.
Apart from being fun and interesting, you can learn mechanics, electrics, and then you can compete. You learn things from the realm of engineering, more things for the future. I usually say that the electric car is the future, but others will make hybrids in order to maintain speed and design and the engine type.
The cars are powered by twin lead-acid batteries that supply 24 volts to a 240-watt electric motor. The teams don't have to build their cars from scratch because a basic kit is supplied to them. However, they have to modify the vehicle mechanically, electrically, and aerodynamically. The project started in the UK in the 1990s. It seeks to raise awareness in young people about alternative energy sources, climate change, and pollution issues. Let's go to the US, where a baby giraffe has explored his habitat at the Indianapolis Zoo for the first time. In a sunny day, Kendi playfully made his first public appearance along with his mother and the herd. The cute calf was born in November and has no siblings yet. Giraffes are native to sub-Saharan Africa, so the zookeepers only allow them to be outside when the weather is not wet or cold. Two tiny islands in South Korea have become tourist attractions by turning almost everything to purple. They are now known as Purple Islands. Banwol and Bakji Islands used to be abandoned locations with small populations of elderly people. But everything changed when residents launched a popular campaign there in 2015. Inspired by their native balloon flower, they started painting the houses, roads and bridges in different shades of purple. They planted more purple flowers on the islands and wore clothes with the same color. Restaurants on the islands also started serving purple food.
We couldn't travel overseas due to COVID-19, so we thought about a local trip instead and found these purple islands. It's amazing and looks like fairy tales and magic. As I'm seeing, the grandmas are all wearing purple clothes. It is very dreamy.
The tourists also praise the welcoming spirit of the islands, who offer a free entry to the visitors dressed in purple. The campaign has changed the island's ambience, adding liveliness and activity to the routine of its residents. It's also attracted the government support, which has invested more than $4 million to turn the islands purple. World-renowned musician Yo-Yo Ma has transferred a COVID-19 vaccine waiting room to a concert hall in the U.S. city of Pittsburgh. He played the pieces after receiving his second dose of the coronavirus jab. Dozens of socially distanced people who had just received their second shot listened on at the Berkshire Community College while waiting for the 15-minute mandatory observation period to end. Yo-Yo Ma, who is a local resident, has said his performance was meant to give something back to the community.
Rations in the town of Yaryupolsky mark the end of winter with a colorful Maslenitsa celebration. People dressed in costumes march in the center of the town, which lies some 170 kilometers from Moscow. After some friendly competitions, participants burn the effigy of Maslenitsa. This marks the end of winter and was believed to fertilize the soil and bring a good harvest in the upcoming autumn. Maslenitsa is celebrated during the last week before the Christian festival of Lent. It is a last chance to the upcoming weeks to eat dairies and meat which are forbidden in the upcoming fasting time. The festival began as a pagan ritual but was later absorbed into the Russian Orthodox Christian tradition. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us and bye-bye.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge. We've been discussing about the qualities of the pious people based on the Sermon of the Pious in Nahjul Balagha. And we discussed many of the phrases. We are already towards the end of the sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions some very important points that are worthy of pondering and contemplation. Previously we mentioned that one of the qualities of a pious person is that his affairs are easy, sahlan amruhu. Of course, when I want to just mention that when we say that his affairs are easy, we also want to keep other narrations in mind whereby sometimes some level of complication, some level of intricacy is necessary. Of course, this is regarding the day-to-day affairs of a person in social interaction and other things. Normally, they are easy. Their affairs are easy and smooth. Another quality of a pious person is that Imam Ali mentions harizan dinuhu, that his religion is protected. Of course, the word hariz comes from the word hirz, which means a certain level of protection. And covering or protection generally. So he says that harizan dinuhu, that his religion is protected.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when we say that a pious person's religion is protected, it means that this pious person is careful that in all dimensions of his religion, all the different dimensions of his religion that are protected and are taken into consideration. And what do we mean by that? We mean by that is that when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or does something that is not required, or leaves out certain aspects of his religion, that means that he has not protected his religion. Now, when you talk about protecting the religion here, because it says his religion is protected, it's mostly referring to his attitude towards how his religiosity is. Not, if you understand, harizan, for example, his the religion is protected through him, then we would say that, okay, generally he takes care that he has, for example, maybe he takes care in the sense that doesn't allow foreign elements to enter into religion as religion. Here it's specifically talking about his attitude and his own religiosity. That means he protects that religion, doesn't allow it to go out, doesn't allow things to fall off from his religiosity. So there are some people who choose parts of religion and leave out parts of religion. This is an extremely dangerous situation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran mentions, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. There are people who obey or believe in parts of the book and leave out parts of the book. This attitude is extremely dangerous, because in reality, it is the start or the actual disbelief. Why do I say so? It's because when a person is cherry-picking religion, that means already he's in a way saying that what God is saying is not important. What I am saying is important. And this itself is the core of disbelief. This itself is the core of disbelief. So a person should not feel that because I'm following part of religion and I'm leaving parts of religion, at least I'm touching, or I'm a bit into the right path, and I'm having a certain level of religiosity. No, in fact, a person who purposely denies part of the religion and purposely only accepts part of it, in fact, has denied the whole of religion. And I will come to that, inshallah, very soon.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, that is why when we talk about the fact that a person should take religion as a whole, that is in reality protecting the religion, taking it as a whole, not choosing and cherry-picking parts of it and avoiding parts of it. If you notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Holy Quran says that there are some people who believe in some of the prophets and who disbelieve in other prophets. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, these are the actual disbelieving people. For the very reason that I mentioned in the previous segment, that means that God is not important in their lives, but what they decide is important. This being the case, it may be that sometimes some people want to follow the whole of religion, but mistakenly, sometimes parts of the religion are not followed by them. These people are not the disbelieving lot, because they are not purposely doing it. And they are always repentant about it. And when a person repents, that itself is part of protecting the religion. So we say a person who, a pious person, is such that his religion is protected. Firstly, it means that he doesn't allow parts of the religion to go away from him. And secondly, he does not allow also foreign entities that are harmful to mix with his religious attitude, with his religiosity. What is important is that adoration and that, that submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to God. And yes, here also it is important that when we say his religion is protected, means that he is aware of the sources of where to get his religious belief and knowledge, and does not allow any source that is beyond what God has ascertained and what God has approved to be something that is defining how his religious life would be. If a person truly achieves this level, this is when he becomes someone whose religion is protected. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us the opportunity to truly protect our religion in our lives and apply it properly in all its spheres. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه ناله
في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون
And they who guard their private parts
إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين
Except from their wives or those their right hands possess, for indeed they will not be blamed.
فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ
But whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors.
So, brothers and sisters, we're done with the fourth verse of this chapter, and we can now move on to the fifth one. It starts saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ And also the next verse, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ And those who guard their private parts, save from their wives or the slaves that their right hands possess, for then, verily, they are not blameworthy. Now, since one of the most problems that actually evades the Muslims from reaching the station of closeness to the Almighty Allah's mercy. And actually one of the obstacles is actually sexual instinct, and it can be most likely to be misused. It has been mentioned in this verse as one of the other traits and attributes of the Muslims, because self-preservation against this needs piety and austerity and strong faith. So this verse, it is emphasizing, and the emphasis is actually put on this subject. The verse says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ And those who guard their private parts. And this verse implies that the fourth attribute of the believers is chastity. And it literally means self-control, an abstinence from every kind of sexual impropriety. And it means that the true believers, the true Muslims, guard themselves from the lewdness and only have intercourse with their wives and slave women, in which there is no blame. As the next verse suggests, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ They guard themselves, save from their wives of the slaves that their right hands possess, فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ For then, verily, they are not blameworthy. So it can be inferred from these two verses altogether that one of the signs of true faith and iman is abstinence from lewdness, the instinct that is put by the Almighty Allah in all of the human bodies. It does not need actually prevention. It needs a little bit of control. It needs somehow a kind of monitoring. And all the human beings have to try to reach this kind of control and self-piety.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insight into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Based on the Islamic school of thought, we do not mean that this instinct should be stopped and should be actually prevented from using. People and all the human beings are allowed to use this instinct. Because if it weren't for use, the Almighty Allah wouldn't have created that in all our bodies. But it has to be used in the ways that the Almighty Allah has prescribed. And exactly it has been mentioned in the 6th verse, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. If they use this instinct on their wives and the slaves that their right hands possess, فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. They are not blameworthy. It means... there is no problem using this instinct, but there must be a little bit of control over that. So we understand that the Holy Quran, by using the phrase guarding private parts in this verse, is referring to the fact that if there is no constant control over the tendencies towards sexual misconduct, there will be the danger that its deviations and its excesses can overwhelm the individual and even the whole society. And the last point to be mentioned in this program regarding the verse is that the word wives in the verse includes both permanent and temporary wives, although some interpreters have made a mistake in this case. But concerning the jurisprudence and the interpreters of the Quran, have identified this mistake in their books of commentary and in the book on the legal issues of nikah. We will inshallah talk about the next verse in the next program to come. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see. All the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
European News Bulletin.
Welcome to the Bulletin. My name's Amina Taylor, and we're broadcasting from the British capital. And it's here we begin our top story. Violent clashes between UK police and protesters over a proposed law making its way through the country's parliament. Now, if adopted, the so-called Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill will change the way protests are held in this country forever. And that has had campaigners and civil liberties groups up in arms as Saipur Reza fills us in.
Bristol,
southwest England on the weekend. A peaceful march against government-proposed legislation that gives the police sweeping powers descended into violence. Some clashed with the police, others vented their anger and frustration in other ways. As darkness set in, the situation escalated further. Fireworks were thrown, police vans set on fire, several officers injured.
I'm opposed to violence of all kinds. That, yes, if there are people who are protesting being violent, I think that they are doing the wrong thing because you don't need to be violent in every situation.
Peaceful protest, very much in support of, not in support of violence. And I'd be very interested to see the discussion about professional agitators, whether that's true. It certainly looked like it on TV.
But that doesn't take away from the seriousness of the government's police, crime, sentencing, and courts bill. And here is why it matters. Scenes on March 13th of women being manhandled by police officers while attending a peaceful vigil in memory of a young woman murdered allegedly by a police officer.
I think it's fundamentally wrong to stop people's right for protest, right from speaking out, because what other power do we have as a people? You know, that is our biggest power. And if you think of history, all the movements have happened, all the powerful change that was created through protest, through crowds, through gathering.
I get the intention, but I think it just gives the police too many powers, and I think their timing is also pretty poor, given you know, how the police are being viewed at the moment. They're losing an awful lot of support.
Having seen the way police broke up the vigil for Sarah Everard, whose murder acted as a poignant reminder about increasing male violence against women, campaigners are concerned about more powers for law enforcement, although the government took issue with the police treatment of the peaceful demonstrators.
Mr. Speaker, let me turn to this weekend's events. I have already said that some of the footage circulating online of Clapham Common is upsetting. So whilst the police are rightly operationally independent, I ask the Metropolitan Police for a report into what had happened.
Opposition parties and campaigners say the bill is deeply imbalanced, that it imposes gratuitous curbs on peaceful protests and does too little to protect women, that it introduces longer jail terms for vandalism or defacing statues and memorials than it does for rape.
The UK's Conservative government says the wide range of steps it's taking is necessary to keep people safe. Its new policing bill has already cleared the first parliamentary hurdle, and given the government's large parliamentary majority, it's almost guaranteed to become law, despite some libertarian concerns among its own MPs. Saeed Purriza, London.
Well, author and political commentator John Wright joins us from Edinburgh. John, you've written about this very bill. May I ask you to quickly recap your thoughts?
Well, this bill is a panic reaction by the establishment to the wave of protests that took place last year across England and Wales, starting with the toppling of the statue of Colston, attacking other monuments, statues of people associated historically with the British slave trade, and most prominently the defacing of Churchill's statue in Parliament Square in London. Because this establishment knows that after statues come tumbling down, often the wall of false consciousness follow. And so this is a rising wave of consciousness regarding Britain's role in the world, past and present, and the Tory establishment is desperate to try and stem this rising tide of resistance and contesting of the official narrative of British history.
Is that how you would categorise what we saw in Bristol over the weekend?
Yes, I do. You know, Karl Marx it was who said, Amina, that necessity without consciousness is blind, and freedom is the consciousness of necessity. And those scenes, as ugly as they were, reflect the ugliness of the legislation involved, which arrogate to the police frightening new powers that would not look out of place in a totalitarian state. And, you know, it wasn't only the protesters who were violent. Some of the scenes, the pictures I've seen on social media, some of the footage shows that the police adopted a very heavy-handed approach, just as they did at the vigil to Sarah Everard, who was abducted and brutally murdered, allegedly by a serving police officer. So the optics could not be worse. People were sitting down in front of a police station, quietly and peacefully, and then the police arrived on horseback and in riot gear. So there was provocation, I think. I think the police in England especially have never been in a worse state in terms of public confidence, and I think this reflects a rising tide of consciousness as to this mob, the real mob, that we're dealing with and people have to be scared of, which is in government.
Now, you say all of this, John, but yet the Conservatives enjoy good polling results. This despite the way in which some have said they've handled the pandemic, this proposed bill. What are we saying now about the opposition, but also about where people's minds are at a time like this?
This government's enjoying strong polling in England, not in Scotland. Let's make that clear. It does speak to a very weak opposition. Keir Starmer is an establishment man. He is Tory-lite, in my view. He's done his best to defenestrate Labour of its socialist policies under the Corbyn leadership that preceded him. But I think it speaks most prominently to the establishment or the introduction of US-style culture wars into the UK's political spectrum, into his narrative, over race, over ethnicity, over religion. And Brexit, of course, has unleashed a carnival of reaction. And Boris Johnson enjoys strong support from people who think Brexit is everything and is an end in itself. And, of course, nothing he can do will hamper that support, just as Donald Trump has a strong base despite all his criminal negligence and incompetence and racism and so forth. So the UK has never been more polarised, consensus nowhere, chaos everywhere, and I think it speaks to Britain's international, political and social decline. It's been a long time coming. This is just a tipping point, and I think we're in for a long, hot summer of social unrest in the UK.
A long, hot summer. All bit of social unrest. Thank you so much, John White.
This is European News Bulletin broadcast by IRIB English Radio. In this program, we covered the most recent developments all over Europe. You can listen to this program on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Now, Richard Sudan, we saw those scenes. We've heard what Saeed Poureza and John White had to say about their particular views on what took place over the weekend. Your stance?
So it's interesting, Amina. And social media is awash with debate and different reactions. And I want to take a look at this first headline, which says, "Police chief condemns the violence and destruction as 20 officers are injured." Now, the reason we've chosen this headline is because the media establishment, if you like, have largely ran with this narrative, talking about the destruction of police vans and, of course, the injuries to police officers. Now, the reaction is mixed on social media, but a lot of people are basically saying that the government is going to, of course, spin this in their favour to make the argument that the bill must, of course, be pushed through. And actually, what's interesting also is a lot of people, Amina, are frankly sceptical and are asking questions about the minority element of these protests, which actually caused the destruction. People are saying, look, we've seen in the past examples where demonstrations have been infiltrated with the sole intention of making the protest turn violent, precisely to spin in the government's favour. So you've seen one narrative, if you like, from the mainstream media, but actually many users on social media are very much aware of the potentiality for other narratives, if you like, to have taken place. And certainly that's what's being discussed online at the moment.
All right, let's hear what they had to say in their own words.
Let's go first to David Holt, who comes from the other side, if you like. David Holt says, "We are under attack from leftism. They cannot cope with their constant failures, so they turn to violence." McArdle says, "Presumably there are undercover police who've infiltrated anarchist and extremist groups who can now torch property to kick off a riot and not face prosecution. Just part of the job." And we have a reaction from Moomin, who says, "I've not seen any footage of the Bristol riots. I'm anti-violence and find that stuff depressing. That said, people are angry with the police bill, angry with the regime corruption, and fuming at police assaulting innocent women last week. It's not right, but perhaps understandable." So this debate is really raging online at the moment, Amina.
Right, and we move across the Atlantic for the second wave of a very disturbing